This is I Ask, They Answer on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Cat thief digging in at the rail. Worldly Matter with Jared Bailey. Charismatic trained by Lucas on the outside. Now Lucas running 1-2. Charismatic on the outside. Takes command. On the inside, Cat thief in the middle of the track. Benefee is flying. But it's Charismatic holding on to win it by a head. Benefee flying on the outside. And Cat thief, I believe, was third. What a dramatic victory as Charismatic and Chris Handley team up to get the roses for Lucas.
That was 25 years ago, Charismatic giving Hall of Fame trainer Dwayne Lucas his fourth Kentucky Derby victory. Dave Johnson had the call. Would it be right or wrong to think that Just Steele could make it number five for the coach this year? Plus, are Dale and Tim buying or selling Sierra Leone as the Kentucky Derby favorite? And will a huge crowd surrounding Churchill Downs' new amphitheater-style paddock make it more difficult for horses to relax before the race? We're going to talk about those topics and much, much more straight ahead on this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans and turf rider Tim Wilkin. And it's all presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program in the College of Business. And it all starts just 30 seconds from right now.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 35 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
All right, guys, with just 3 weeks remaining until the Run for the Roses, there are plenty of topics to talk about, not just this week, but in the coming weeks as well. We also have a couple of topics submitted by our listeners, which we love, that we're going to get to later in the program. But let's kick it off with a few rounds of buy or sell, where I throw some topics at you, and you tell me if you are buying or selling this particular horse or this particular individual. So let's start it this way. After his impressive win in last Saturday's Bluegrass, guys, are you buying or selling that Sierra Leone should be the Kentucky Derby favorite? Dale, let's start with you. Buy or sell?
I'm buying. I'm buying. He should be the favorite. Whether he wins or not, I don't know, but he's done everything right, and he's handled by the good people, and, you know, what is there not to like about him?
Maybe the fact that Fierceness won the Florida Derby by the length of the stretch, does he get no love?
Yeah, he's going to get plenty of love, but I'll make him second choice just because he's been in and out in a few spots.
Tim?
Oh, boy. I thought long and hard about this one. I'm selling. And that doesn't mean that I don't love Sierra Leone. I mean, he's the only horse in the leaderboard that has won, that has shown twice that he can win at these championship level races. He won the blue before the Bluegrass. He won the Risen Star, but Fierceness, you know, if he's turned the corner and got over his inconsistency issues, I think he's going to be a monster in this race. He doesn't have to have the lead to win, but he does have speed, and maybe he has a little tactical edge on Sierra Leone. But one thing I was a little concerned about in the Bluegrass was the way that he balked for several minutes before going in the starting gate. And I know Chad Brown's going to work hard with him in schooling, and he'll have him as right as he can be. But, at 150,000 people, a lot of horses do have meltdowns. Sierra Leone has plenty of talent. He's Chad Brown's best chance that he's ever had to win the Kentucky Derby. And remember, he had Good Magic, who's finished second to Justify. But right now, a lot can happen. We'll wait for the post positions, too. I think Fierceness will be the favorite.
You did think about that a long time, Tim. I mean, how much longer than my 10 seconds did you think about the question?
Well, you know what? While you were busy on the golf course, I was up here slaving away, looking things, trying to do some work for Mr. Penna's fine show.
I promise next week I'm going to read the script.
Dale, you don't need to read the script to answer this next question. I can promise you that. The Brad Cox-trained Catching Freedom would be the first Louisiana Derby winner to take home the roses since Grindstone did it in 1996. Dale, are you buying or selling Catching Freedom's chances in the Kentucky Derby?
I'll buy that one, too. You know, he's got a good running style. If he gets a fast pace up in front of him, he can come running. I thought the last race was pretty impressive.
I have a feeling there's going to be 7 horses that win the Kentucky Derby, according to Dale, this year.
I think there's 7 that could. Now, we're not talking about who's going to win exactly, but who could. This is a horse that could.
Could, yeah. I'm going to sell this one, too. You know, Catching Freedom, he came from last in that race, won by a length. And, you know, the Louisiana Derby has given us 2 of the last 5 winners, even though they didn't win the Louisiana Derby. And they won the Kentucky Derby via the DQ of Maximum Security. Country House won, and Mandaloon was put up after the Medina Spirit issues in 21. Brad Cox is a great trainer, and he does get these horses ready for these races, but I'm selling this one.
All right, how about this one? Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott is coming off a tremendous year last year. It was his 4th Eclipse Award-winning season. Are you buying or selling his Wood Memorial winner, Resilience? Dale?
How many horses did you say I want to say could win? 7? I was going to buy this one, too, because I'll never sell Bill Mott.
Somehow I knew you were going to stay with Bill Mott on this one.
Yeah, you know he's my man. Tim, he offered me a free dinner the other night, so I got to stay with him.
Tim, what do you think?
I'm going to sell this one, too. And you know, and I have so much admiration for Bill Mott and everything that he does. But I read somewhere where he had already made plane reservations to leave Louisville at 6 o'clock on Derby night. He was going to run something. He didn't know if he was going to have anything in the Derby. So obviously this horse maybe surprised him a little bit. The blinkers obviously helped him, and he won the Wood by 2 1/4 lengths. He's going to have to get a new rider because Johnny V, who rode him in the Wood, is riding Fierceness. I would assume it's going to be Junior Alvarado. I never want to go against Bill Mott, but I just don't see him as the horse that's going to wear the roses.
Dale, what was he going to buy you for dinner?
We were going to go to Pat's Steakhouse. We might still. We've got a long time between now and the Derby. He told me just to pick a date, so. We'll go out. We ought to take a recorder. We'll send Lee over and record it. We have a lot of fun when we go to dinner.
Hey, does Lee get a free dinner too?
Yeah, he gets to eat too, but it's a lot of good stories and stuff. You could just take a day off and play that recording.
Be fantastic. Timmy, he might want to extend those reservations, that plane reservation leaving Louisville, because he's going to have Resilience in that run for the Roses.
Oh,
and that's
sure,
not going to run
sure,
till at least
sure
7 o'clock.
Has. Oh, I'm sure he has already changed that.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. We'll see if Resilience can continue the Bill Mott hot streak coming up on the first Saturday in May. All right, one more for you. Santa Anita Derby winner Stronghold has never finished worse than 2nd in 6 career starts. Dale, is that enough for you to be a buyer on Stronghold on the first Saturday in May?
Well, Tim's shaming me into selling something. I'm going to sell this one. I'm not going to buy this one. We'll let Tim. Now, Tim, you haven't bought one yet, so I'm selling. I'm a little weak on California this year.
I agree. I'm selling this one too. I'm selling everything. I mean, this is, you know, Stronghold. He won the Santa Anita Derby by a neck over Imagination, who was, you know, face it, was one of Baffert's second stringers. You know, his 2 big guns, Nisos and Muth, can't run in the Kentucky Derby, and Nisos is on the sidelines anyway. You know, it's in a way, I'm glad that Stronghold was able to win this, so there will be a California presence in the Derby. stronghold, and I think Michael McCarthy's endlessly are the only ones that are looking towards the Derby. And endlessly he's looking that way after he won the synthetic race at the Jeff Ruby stakes. So, you know, Stronghold's a nice horse. I don't know if he's Derby nice. He's going to be under the radar coming into this race. But I have to sell.
All right, no Santa Anita Derby winner for either Dale or Tim on the first Saturday in May. Okay. Each week, guys, we ask our listeners to submit questions, if they have them, for the two of you to debate or to answer or talk about a specific topic. We have two of those this week, and here's the first one. It comes from Will, who tweets to us about the new paddock design at Churchill Downs. And Will wants to know that the new amphitheater-style paddock appears to put the crowd well above the horses as they enter the paddock, as opposed to being on the same level. Will this new design help the horses relax more, or will the noise with this style paddock make it even louder and be an even greater distraction? Dale, I'm going to come to you first on this one. What do you think?
I toured it this week, and I was very impressed. It's laid out nice. I don't think it'll bother the horses at all. If anything, it might help because you're not going to have as many people crammed into that little area that you had at in the old paddock where all the connections for every horse. You know, every horse gets 20 paddock passes, plus all the sponsors are in there, and it was just a dangerous situation. It was way too tight. And if anything, I think it might help because it's going to spread out the crowd inside the paddock, and they're going to have some people that would have been inside just been able to stand around on the outside. But I'm telling you, it's nice over there. It's really nice, better than I expected.
I've seen – obviously, I haven't seen it, and I remember that, you know, I've been there enough times to have remembered the old paddock the way it was. And like Dale says, people were just crammed in there. And, you know, I saw a lot of horses melt down going into the paddock or out of it. I mean, some of them aren't bothered at all. But when you have 150,000 people, there's going to be noise. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, standing when they're above it, do horses look up? I mean, I know that they put the in the paddock at Saratoga along the horse path as the horses went out, they put these new suites up there, and there was always people up there. And there was some concern by some people thinking that the noise might bother the horses, but I don't think there was ever an incident at all last summer. So, yeah, they're not going to be able to mute 150,000 people. Some horses are really going to, I think, will freak out because that's what happens. But the new paddock at Churchill, it looks like it's going to be beautiful. And, you know, I can't say if it's going to be good, if it's going to be good or bad for them until we try it. And so we see what happens. But I would assume that it'll be mostly okay.
Dale, you know, it's not uncommon for a track like Saratoga, for example. That paddock always gets filled up pretty quickly, and there can be a lot of people there. Keeneland, the same way. It's not uncommon for a paddock to offer access to a lot of connections, owners, trainers, family members, media members, whatever the case might be. How much time do trainers actually spend worrying about that with their horses and the effect it could have on them? And if you do worry about it, how do you prepare your horse to maintain their composure when they walk into an environment like that?
Well, all we can do is school them in the paddock. I mean, there's no way to replicate the crowd noise or what's going to go on at the Derby. And you're talking about the paddock at Keeneland and Saratoga. I mean, they're 10 times bigger than the old paddock area was for people at Churchill. This is going to be a whole lot better. There's not a lot you can do, though, to get them ready for 150,000 people. You can't get that many to come out and practice with you. So it's hopefully, but you know, most of these horses that get to this level are so smart, and most of them are fairly calm. I think that's why you haven't seen a lot more incidents or problems. I mean, there's been a few here and there, but nothing major. These are the cream of the crop, and they got there by being smart, professional horses.
Well, it sounds like that new Churchill paddock is going to be spectacular. I can't wait to get a look at it here in a couple of weeks and see it in person for myself, and you know, tweet out some pictures. I'm sure it's going to be quite an addition to what is already an incredible racetrack there at Churchill. All right, let's move on to welcome our good friend Nick Zito to the program. And Dale and Tim will get to tell me if the following statements are right or wrong.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
Let's begin with this one, gentlemen. In only his third career start, just a touch, looked as if he would win the Bluegrass Stakes in deep stretch last Saturday before being run down by potential Derby favorite Sierra Leone. I say, if you're a fan of Sierra Leone in this year's Derby, you also have to love Just a Touch. Tim Wilkin, is that right or wrong?
What do you think? Right or wrong?
I'm going to go wrong on this one.
What?
Yeah, I'm Mr. Negative today, right?
Today?
You know, what are you talking about? Just a Touch is going against one of the biggest curses of all in the history of the Triple Crown, even though in the history of the Kentucky Derby. You know, we didn't race it to, and that was always called the curse of Apollo, even though that curse has sort of been tempered recently, because just last year, Mage won without racing as a two-year-old. Justified did it. Big Brown did it. And, you know, they're and only having three career starts, lifetime, and then there's Mage and Justify beat that, too. Just a Touch, in the second to Gotham is a favorite, and third, second in the Bluegrass is third choice. He has a chance to hit the board, but I'm not going to say he's going to win it. I just think there's too many other. I think there's a, he's in the, I think in the echelon below the top five or six.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you, Tim. I'm going wrong here too. I think it's just too much to ask. You've got to be a super horse to do it. I mean, he's a very nice horse, and he's going to be a force to be reckoned with as the year goes on. But that's an awful lot to ask. And by the way, Big Brown did run it too. He broke his maiden at Saratoga on the turf first time out.
Jesus, I made a mistake. I'm sorry.
Can't correct you very often, so I wanted to get my dig in there.
I guess I got to do 10 push-ups.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, Just a Touch was so impressive to me last weekend. And I do think if you like Sierra Leone, you have to love Just a Touch, too. I mean, they were pretty much right together. It looked like Just a Touch was going to beat them. I go back to one of the few times I actually picked a winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic when Concern and Holy Bull met in the Traverse Stakes. Concern almost beat Holy Bull that day. When they got to the Breeders' Cup Classic later in the season, Holy Bull wasn't there, but Concern was. I bet on Concern. He won the race, and I only bet him because I figured if he could be that close to Holy Bull, he had to be better than every other horse in the race, and I think you could use the same logic here with Just a Touch. At least that's what I'm going to stick with, so I will say that I am right with that statement that you have to love Just a Touch in the Kentucky Derby. How about this one? Arkansas Derby runner-up Just Steele is going to be the 50th Kentucky Derby starter for Hall of Fame trainer Dwayne Lucas. In addition to his four wins, Lucas has had six other horses finish in the top three. If I were to say that Just Steele will follow suit and find his way into the trifecta in this year's Derby, would I be right or wrong?
What do you think? Right or wrong?
Tim, what do you think?
I think you're right. One thing I've learned with all the conversations I've always had with Dwayne Lucas, and the thing that sticks out to me, beware of him when people don't think he's got a chance. Of his four Derby winners, none of them were favorite, and he had some big balloons in there with Thunder Gulch and Charismatic. And the Derby is better when there's some of the trainers are in it. And I'll include Dale in that, too, because it's always more fun when Dale has a horse in the race. It's always fun when Dwayne Lucas has a horse in the race. And this is his first one since 2018. Just Steele doesn't have a win this year. He's also got 11 career starts, so he's got plenty of foundation. He was second in Arkansas at 32-1. Watch out. Watch the board with this one, because I think he's got a chance to hit the board at a big number.
Just like with Bill Mott, never count the coach out, ever. You're right. And he told me a long time ago when I ran a maiden to Belmont, and everybody was kind of laughing at me, we ended up third, that he said, don't listen to the press. He said, I've made millions of dollars running horses where people said they didn't belong. Never count him out. But I'll guarantee another thing. If you spent 5 minutes before the race talking to Wayne, you'd be betting on the horse. He'll have you so pumped up.
Yeah, he certainly will. Nobody pulls a rabbit out of a hat like the great D. Wayne Lucas. We'll see if he can do it again with Just Steel. Hey, I got a bonus one for you guys. News coming out yesterday that the University of Kentucky has hired BYU basketball coach Mark Pope as their new men's basketball coach. Is that decision, Dale, right or wrong?
What do you think? Right or wrong?
I hope he comes in and does a great job, but I wish they'd call my friend Rick Pitino back, brought him back in. He'd get us back on track, but I don't know. The guy seems like he's done a real good job at BYU. This is a whole different ballgame when you come over here and try to run this organization, but hopefully they made a good call.
Timmy, what do you think? You're a basketball guy.
Well, I know that they had a bunch of other people that they had and they were hoping for before this guy. I think that UK's got to hit a home run on this one because the natives are restless down there after so many early exits from the NCAA tournament. Because, you know, because Kentucky is basketball. And John Calipari figured he had to get out. And, you know, because I just think that it'll be interesting to see what happens with the transfer portal, what kind of things, what kind of players they got coming in, who leaves. But, yeah, this guy will have – the hot seat will be on him early, I think.
Yeah, well, for all the UK fans out there, and we have plenty that are listening to the show right now, best of luck to Mark Pope. And if you're not a UK fan, I know you're hoping he doesn't do very well when he gets to Lexington starting with this year's season. All right, guys, final question. It comes via email from Rick in Sacramento, California. And we're down to about the final 4.5 minutes in the program, so we'll make it quick. But Rick wants to hear some of your thoughts on your favorite racehorses, not necessarily the most famous or the most notable horses, but some of the horses over the years that have attracted your attention and captured your heart that maybe people don't know about. So, Tim, let me start with you here.
One that sticks out, I think, to every horse racing fan is Zippy Chippy because, you know, he went 0 for 100 and, you know, never won. Lost a race to a baseball player. He just was the lovable loser of all time. And there's another one that I recall, a horse named Rapid Redux. He won 22 straight races, which was a North American record. And raced on the mid-Atlantic circuit, mostly in starter allowance races. And he earned $361,000 for his career, but he always won. I mean, I remember talking to his trainer, David Wells, during the height of his streak, and he said that to him, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said he wanted him to retire sound so he could have a good life, and he just said he deserved that. And that's where Rapid Redux is now. He's in good old friends in Kentucky, living out, having a great life. But, yeah, I mean, everyone remembers Zenyatta and Citation and those winning streaks, but Rapid Redux was a horse that he beat them both. So he was a cool horse.
I'm going to try to talk about a few of my own. One of my all-time favorites was a horse named R. Pat Rooney. It's the first horse I ever owned myself. I claimed him when I was 15 years old for $3,500. I saved up all my money. I made grooming horses and claimed R. Pat Rooney. Ended up claiming back three different times. He was a fun old horse and my pet. And the other one would be Miss Mindy. Miss Mindy, my very first winner as a trainer in 1987. She was something. She also broke her maiden for 3,500 maidens at Turfway Park. But I've had a bunch of them over the years that I've trained that nobody would know who they were to, that just liked. And they were just, you knew if you put them in, you were going to get a good, hard, honest effort out of them. But that's a good question, and a lot of good questions coming from our listeners.
Yeah, keep them coming. If you have a question for Dale and Tim, send it to us. Mike@horseracingradio.net is how you can email the show or hit us up on social media, as Will did, and drop your questions there, and we'll work them into the program. For me, there were two, Red Hot Red and Montreal Red, two horses that people may not be familiar with that growing up I just, for whatever reason, was attracted to them. Red Hot Red, a hard-knocking claimer. Montreal Red did a bit better, I think. But people might not remember those horses, but for whatever reason, I was always drawn to those two whenever they would run. All right, wrapping up the show, we get down to about the final 2 minutes here. Dale and Tim, you get an opportunity to make your West Point of the Week, sponsored by our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds. And I will remind you that owning a racehorse with West Point Thoroughbreds is a lifestyle investment for your entire family. It's a smart, fun way for owners to enjoy being an instant insider and access the major leagues of racing for a fraction of the cost of doing it alone. West Point Thoroughbreds, the gold standard in racing partnerships. Tim Wilkin, what is your West Point of the Week?
Mike, I've talked about this a little bit before, but now it's here. On Thursday, the Oklahoma training track opens for business in Saratoga, which is a sure sign that spring is here and horse racing season is here as well upstate. There won't be many people there on opening day, but the track is open. There will be a couple of horses out there. I might even go up there to check things out. But it's always a welcome sign when the Oklahoma opens.
Yes, it is. Send some pictures, Tim. But I'm going a different route. Monday, big decision, they say, is coming out on Bob Baffert. Judge, if you're listening, put Bob in. The Kentucky Derby needs the 20 best three-year-olds in the country. Put him in. Let him run. Enough of this nonsense.
All right. It would be great to see Muth, the Arkansas Derby winner, in this year's run for the Roses. Guys, appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend. Good luck at the races. We'll do it all over again next week.
Thanks, Bob.
Sounds good.
All right, again, if you have a topic you want Dale and Tim to discuss, email the show or hit us up on social media. We'll work it in for you. I Ask, They Answer is presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program and the College of Business. I'm back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, where racing comes to talk.